Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. After the Helmfirth Massacre, the Mystery Punchers have returned to their motel. Richter was haunted by visions of the massacre, as well as the King in Yellow. Adrian slept like a baby because he was told not to worry. And Red was panicked by the threat of brainworms, memories from her past, and a new secret admirer who could prove to be friend or foe. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Red, you're staring at a hat that you were pretty sure was lost. And as you turn it over in your hands, you're kind of vaguely blurring in and out. Drunk vision notices the roughness to it, the spots of blood from the impact and where it's been gently and seemingly lovingly kind of reshaped. You can see the divots that have been kind of pushed out by hand as you stare at the vaguely unfamiliar script. You are seething with rage, assuming that this is the work of the now deceased mayor-in-waiting's wife, who not only locked you out of the house while she did something to Adrian and to Old Man Richter, but is now seemingly taunting you. You turn the hat over in your hands. What's kind of going through your head, do you think, right now?
I want to march to her house, shoot in all of her windows, and take her out.
Are you going to do that without them, or are you going to wait till they're up and about?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that because she clearly has weird magic shit going on, and that I don't trust and I don't understand. And now that I know that there are like worms in people's brains, that's a whole other level of like. I'm feeling very impotent right now. Like I'm feeling very like I know what I want to do, but all of this stupid magic forces are basically saying that I can't.
Gotcha. All right. So it's early morning now. You spent the night drinking whiskey and staring at the hat, trying to come up with plans, but unfortunately they're generally of the vengeance bent and not necessarily the actionable, usable bent. The sun sort of broke the horizon about 20 minutes ago. You watched the kind of pink and purple hues through the thin curtain, ratty kind of that sickening off-white yellowish color that seems to only exist on hospital walls and in cheap motels. The sort of beauty of the sunrise was tainted by these kind of disgusting curtains. And really the only way you noticed this was happening was the light on the hat got slightly brighter. And that's when you begin to hear it. You hear Old Man Richter begin to mutter to himself in German. And he's a sleeping old man, so that is some like deep in the throat, vaguely phlegmy muttering. And it's German, so that's some deep phlegmy muttering. you can't quite make out what he's saying. Do you think you would, like, go over and try and listen? Do you think you would just kind of let him sleep?
I would listen for sure in case he starts, like, talking in English.
Sure. Go ahead and roll me a listen check, please.
Okay. That is a success.
Okay. You definitely hear the word Tallahassee, which in German is Tallahassee.
Ooh.
And then you see his kind of brow furrow, and he suddenly looks very concerned. The muttering almost starts to falter a bit, almost as though he's listening to something or receiving information of some sort, which is when you hear Adrian begin to mutter. He's speaking of how, you know, TJ is the man for the job. You know, Tennessee Jockstrap's the guy. But then he starts to say no and kind of like shake his head in a way that you've only really seen him do when you've tried to, you know, back when you had mentioned coming home or anything else that really upsets him. And as you move over to kind of see if you can hear what he's saying, Richter sits up and screams. And a moment later, Adrian sits up and screams. So Benny, like, bolts out of the chair that he was sleeping in. And you see
not,
both
not
of them.
Not Benny.
No, sorry, not Benny.
Devin, I think.
Devin,
right?
Yes, thank you. Devin leaps out of the chair. Yeah, Benny's been here the whole time.
Oh my God. We did it.
Did I not mention that? You guys should really look around the room more.
All we had to do was sleep.
No one searched for traps. The party is dead.
It was when a you find out you have, the whole time.
Yeah, when you find out you have a worm brain, all of a sudden your friend is there. He's not dead.
Well, howdy. I'm Mr. DNA. So, Devin leaps out of his chair and is also, like, equally kind of shaken by this. Richter and Adrian, you kind of, like, almost, like, immediately you're looking around in a bit of a panic because, I mean, TJ was the man for the job, but now he's dead. What are you going to do? You need someone who can get this under control. Someone who has a plan. Someone who's the right man for the job. The right man for the job is dead. So you are both incredibly agitated and panicked about this in an alarming way.
Okay, Randy, you told me not to worry, but I don't know who's the right man for the job anymore.
Now, Adrian, there must be something we can do as loyal supporters of TJ. We must be able to assist him, even now.
Start a TJ memorial party? Like, we can run in the election and then just say, for TJ, his spirit will guide us. And then
okay.
We use a Ouija board, and whenever we have to make a decision...
Addy!
What?
I need everybody to stop talking right now.
Okay, you have a plan. You're the right man for the job.
No, that doesn't feel right, Adrian.
You're not the right man for the job.
No, she's not.
Crap.
Well, I am, as they say, perhaps the man with the plan right now. I'm making it up as I go along, but I can't deal with this right now. I can't deal with what is happening to both of your heads. Now, listen to me. He's dead. He's not coming back.
Oh, that's the worst news, guys. Maybe
that's
he could come back.
There's no plan. This is literally the problem.
Richter's up out of bed, going looking through the few books that he's got for just like resurrection rituals.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Adrian,
we need to find his body right now. Lights
Adrian's
candles.
Shifting back and forth between looking in the bathroom and then looking in the closet.
Nope, he's not here. No, there's no one here who can do it.
Devin looks to you, Red, and then slowly starts collecting the guns.
Yeah,
just like super casually, like he's kind of been keeping the place together since it was kind of his workstation before, so just ever so casually, just kind of moving the things away from
him. Big yawn and a stretch and reaching for the shotgun and
and he's like trying to keep it behind his arm the whole way back,
and I am walking over and casually locking the door.
Red, cool. We need to know who's the man with the plan and the right man for the job, and my ear hurts.
Addy, yeah. We already know who the man for the job is. It's Tallahassee. It's just a matter of resurrecting him and bringing his spirit
We're
back.
Not going...
He said he was a robot. Maybe we just build a robot.
We're not going to bring him back from the dead, and we are not going to build some kind of robotic monstrosity. Now, I need both of you to sit down right now and listen to me.
Adrian will sit down on the floor immediately where he is.
Richter will not. He's gonna just stay reading his books, but he'll fall silent.
Now, I know this is hard for you to believe, but when we went to the former Tallahassee's house, you both went in and, shall we say, partook of, I believe, cake. This is all so dramatic. Now, I believe that his wife has poisoned you.
I don't feel sick.
How's your ear again, Addy?
My ear hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
why.
But I
put the cake in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. And,
And my poops are normal.
Do you know how parasites can enter the brain?
The door?
Through food. Now, I crushed a man's skull under my boot on that stage just last night. And do you know what I found in his head?
His brains?
Jam?
A worm.
Are you sure you weren't just walking through a garden and then you stepped on someone's skull and you found a worm? I mean,
usually they have to
Occam's razor, Red.
They have to be asleep a long time before there's worms in there. Talking like 2 weeks.
I am running out of patience here now because I have fondness for both of you. I need you to believe me that the longer we wait, the worse it's going to get, the worse your headaches are going to get, the worse your earaches are going to get, because you literally have a worm inside your head right now that's telling you that Tallahassee is the goddamn man for the job. So we need to get that out, and the only person who knows how to do that is his wife.
Okay, awkward question, though. What if the worm is right?
What if the worm is right?
Yeah, what if he is the only man for the job?
Well, that's too bad, because he's dead, and we are not bringing his zombified corpse back to life.
Because you didn't let me burn down the Corbett house, so we could put him in there, and then maybe he'd be nice. And if he isn't, we could stab him with a knife.
You're not going to want to stab him with the knife, even if he is the most evil being to come out of that house, which, frankly, would be a tough call. Now, we need to go and set you right, because I will not have you die on me. Do you understand?
Tom?
Yes, sir.
What does Richter remember happening when he goes into that house? Did he eat cake?
As you recall, tea was served. You had tea. It was
perfectly normal thing. Yeah.
You did not have cake.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have cake. Okay.
No.
Was there cake? Am I making that up? Am I totally...
Oh, Adrian definitely had cake.
Adrian definitely
had
cake. He said the cake was very good, but...
I also specifically want a moment of introspection, like, what happened that day? And if that's just a totally normal memory...
Yeah, Richter, you're not a cake guy. Cake's not your thing, but tea. Yeah. Can't say no to a good cup.
Okay.
Fair.
It's very good.
Okay, so we can go talk to the mayor's wife, and then she can say, didn't poison you, and then more cake.
Because you know she didn't let me in the house, right? You are aware of that.
What? You didn't knock on the door, you drove into the house. That's not how you get inside.
You also clarified to her after she woke up that she should have just rung the doorbell a bunch, because that's what Grandpa Richard did, and it got him in. Come on, this is basic stuff.
I think I should drive there, and then we'll go to the door together, and then I'll ring the bell so you'll get in.
We could do that.
Then you can have some cake, and it'll all make sense.
No one is eating or drinking anything if we go in that house. I mean, I suppose it doesn't matter for you, because you two have already succumbed to whatever influence she has. Demonic, satanic, whatever it is. I don't care. I want it gone.
So we go to the house and I can have cake. And Grandpa Richard, you can have your stinky water.
I suppose so. I would like to pay the Tallahassee's widow a visit to pay my respects and wish her well. He was the man for the job, you know. So it is a sad thing.
Tell me, what exactly, what job exactly do you think he was going to do here? What does your gut tell you?
He was going to do a great job. He was going to do the right thing for Helmfirth. He's a man of vision. And honestly, this town really needs someone who you know, has a plan and is able to really help the town reach its full potential.
Mm.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, what Grandpa Richard said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know those classic Richter lines, like, I care about this city and how it's planned.
Yeah, he was going to pick this town up by its bootstraps.
He was going to make Helmfirth great again. I cannot do the German accents. There we go.
Make Helmfirth again.
And also, and she's going to pick up her fedora. I believe that she paid us a visit last night, because there was a knock at the door, I opened it, and this was sitting here with a nice, kindly little note, taunting me.
What did the note say?
It said, I thought you might want this back.
Did you?
Of course I wanted my clothes back, Richter, that's not the point. The point is some shadowy figure brought my hat back with a taunting note, and I will not be made fun of.
It kind of seems like a nice note.
It like, seems like a kind gesture.
Right? It's almost like something the man for the job's wife would do as a nice gift because you crashed into their house and didn't apologize.
My ear hurts. Devin starts to move your pistols away from you. Yeah.
At this point, Richter's going to like turn to Adrian and be like, Andy, stop picking your ear. That is why it hurts. Get your finger out of there.
Okay, I'll try.
She's going to start putting on her coat. She's going to grab her guns back from Devin with a look and just say, well, I'm going to the widow's house and I have had a lot of whiskey. So who's driving?
I always drive. Remember that one time you drove and we had to go to the hospital?
Right.
I drive.
And then I get up to go drive.
Sounds good.
I pick my ear, but only a little bit.
Okay. Richter, you find the ear picking particularly bothersome because, like, your ear also hurts, but, like...
It's like watching someone yawn and trying not to yawn.
Yeah, like, and also, really... like, just... You're an adult. You just accept the pain and just live with it forever because that's being old in the 30s is difficult.
I'm old and from Europe. I just... Why are you complaining? I'll grab I don't think I have this, but oh no, you know what? I'm gonna use an ability that I almost never use. I'm gonna spend 10 luck for my talent being resourceful. I spend 10 luck, I have the thing that I'm looking for. I'll take down 10 luck, and now I have I just pull like out of like my jacket pocket a Ouija board. Like we should I will go visit. We should visit the widow and with her there, we could probably contact Herr Tallahassee and communicate with him. See if he has a plan.
Sure.
And I'll get ready to go out as well.
Cool. Richter, you have a brief moment of self-satisfaction. Because when you asked the local tailor to make you a cloth Ouija board,
I just roll it up. Oh, that's so much smarter.
Huge prick about it. But who's laughing now? All you had to do was carry around a bunch of folded fabric and a little glass doohickey that admittedly is an awkward shape and very heavy. But you knew it would come in handy.
More awkward than that severed human hand you've been carrying around.
Yeah, incidentally, it balanced it out, you know? It's like wearing two holsters. I imagine Ouija boards at this point weren't really a thing outside of, like they weren't a toy yet. So this is some spooky shit.
Also, I'm officially renaming our gang to the Gaslight Gang.
Well, I mean, you don't really want to be associated with your previous gang these days anyway, after all the murder.
Yeah.
Red, have you taken your bandages off yet, or are you still looking like a mummy?
Oh, I think I will take the bandages off.
Okay, we can also say you did this during the night, which probably makes more sense than when you're heroically leaving the building.
Yeah.
So midway through the evening, we'll say pre-hat, because I feel like after that you wouldn't really give a shit.
Yeah.
You made your way to the bathroom past Adrian. Can you roll me a listen check?
Oh, me? Sorry.
Yes, please. Yeah, sorry. Yep.
That is a success.
Cool. You were kind of drunk and kind of psyching yourself up, so you weren't paying too much attention. But if you'd stopped to really consider it, it almost sounded like he was doing math equations. But that's bullshit, and you have no time for that. So you made your way into the bathroom and kind of looked into the overly fancy mirror. This bathroom is grimy in the way only a motel bathroom can be, where just no matter how clean it purports to be, there is just a crust of dust and grime kind of in all the corners of things. But it's a reflective surface, and that's what you need most. So you begin to unwind the bandages. Red, I'm going to need you to please roll me a... We're just going to go with a straight con check, please.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that. Now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
Oh no. Okay. I failed. Mm-hmm. I would like to spend 15 luck to make it a success.
It's a wise call.
Yep.
Let me just erase the damage I was imagining. So you unwrap the bandage painfully. There's dried blood sticking to it, of course. You are pleasantly surprised at how minimal the damage is. You've got a pretty nasty gash across your forehead, kind of almost diagonally from the center of your forehead on the hairline down to the left. Intersects just the edge of your eyebrow and kind of continues down almost to the bottom of your ear. You've got the top. You've got kind of a cut from the bottom of your chin, sort of at center, up across the right side of your lip. That's been sewn. All these have been sewn shut, yeah. By the way, obviously. And then you have another one that's just kind of on your upper cheekbone. Your nose is bloody. There's like the skin has split, but it's not a sewable offense, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You got extraordinarily lucky that your nose didn't break. Perhaps a failure would have changed that. The good news is you still look mostly like your rad character portrait, just with slightly more battle damage. You know, like I was trying to sell an extra action figure without actually sculpting one or yep. some such.
So I look like kind of like cool Frankenstein.
Yeah, kind of. You look like Hollywood movie star who like
yeah.
had a building collapse on them, and they get out. And they're yeah. like, "I'm really injured."
Got like the one little thing across the.
Yeah. You got the one little thing across the nose, and like, admittedly, these are gonna scar, but they aren't. Yeah. You're not like fucking Deadpool.
Yeah.
Or Spawn under there, which is.
I'm happy to have cool scars. That's neat.
Great. Yep. Cool. Yeah. So, again, still pretty rough. Also, I feel like getting stitches in the 30s isn't a great, like, I remember when, like, mm-hmm. me as a human now got stitches for the first time, they were the ones that just, like, dissolve. So they're just like, don't worry about it. I was like, do I have to come back in to get these out? They're like, nah, they'll just disappear into your body. I'm like, ugh. But back then it's more like, hey, do I need to come in to get these out? It's like, yes, it's wire. It's lead wire.
Oh my God.
Made of napalm. I don't know.
And cocaine.
30s medicine. Yeah. Naturally. Yeah. Come on. We're a civilized society.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So yeah. So a little scarred up. As you put your hat on, you kind of cringe, realizing that you've got some stitches under there too. But you know, it's just nice to have the hat back, mm-hmm. despite how it came. It's been slightly tainted by, mm-hmm. How you achieved it. So with that, again, it's early morning, you all pile into, I think at this point you're on stolen cars, because I think you were using Devin's car, and it's definitely gone. Adrian, can you roll me a spot hidden check, please? Or an appraise check.
Ooh.
Wow. Playing to my strengths. Let's see what happens.
Actually, sorry, Ryan, let me take that again. So I'm basically looking for like what Adrian's scanning for good cars would be, which is theoretically an appraise check, but that's also not a skill you have. So instead, let's go with a ride check, which is just you determining what would be an appropriate vehicle that would be easy enough to steal.
That's a failure. No, it's just bad. It's just bad. My ride score is 5.
Sorry, Ryan.
Mechanical repair is 50 if we want something that's like...
I meant
like
drive auto.
Oh, drive auto. Cool.
Yeah. I'm too used to the Star Wars game where ride just kind of blankets everything.
Yeah.
Like brace.
In that case, it is a path. It's a success.
Cool.
What a journey we've had. what car do you think you find? Also, the dog was eating the carpet. I apologize.
I feel like it's just mid-range. Like, it's just something forgettable. Like, if he looked at three cars on the street, he'd choose the one that's blue. Okay. Today feels like a blue day.
Cool. Abadi Abadi. What do you name your car?
Spanky.
All right. So you load everyone into Spanky, a generic blue car, which admittedly to the modern eye would look art deco as hell. Mm. But back then just looked like a shitty vehicle. Why are there seat, like, no, there weren't seatbelts, but like, why isn't there a better lever at the front to help crank things? I don't understand. This modern vehicle blows, as the vernacular went. So you pile everyone in and you begin to head back out towards the, this is too early for them to be called suburbs, but the suburbs. So you kind of wind your way through the streets. You can see there's a pretty good deal of consternation going on. People, it's a little bit like the day after any major disaster. There's people seem to be in a bit of a daze. There seems to be just kind of a general sense of malaise and confusion. Richter and Adrian, you see a lot of people who seem real concerned that the man for the job is no longer in the picture. Given the jovial attitude of the town yesterday, it is a marked difference. So you make your way kind of to the outskirts of town, and as you begin to pull up to TJ's house, you are pleased to see that security seems to be somewhat minimal. There's a car parked across the street with a couple of Boston mobster toughs, with thermoses of coffee, like a thermos of coffee between them, just kind of shooting the shit, smoking cigarettes. They don't seem tremendously alert, but they are definitely keeping an eye on the house. The house itself, there are a number of flowers have been left there, and seemingly cards and that sort of thing have been piled up at the gate. So you begin to drive up and you see these two toughs. You see the situation. What do you do?
Is it the kind of situation where, like, we could hypothetically get to the house and ring the doorbell without them seeing us?
If you approach from the front, they would definitely see you because they're across the street from the house, but they're staring, like, directly at the house. Mm. So odds are you would need to either sneak around the back or try and distract these two goons.
Yeah.
Should we sneak? Should we distract? Or should we go have a talk with these boys?
I feel like if we are trying to get into her house, having a talk with these boys might not be the best thing, because I feel like any talk we have is going to end in, shall we say, punching.
Okay.
So perhaps
if we park between them and the house so no one sees the punching.
I think, I wonder if we can try knocking on the back door.
Okay. I park here, I guess.
So, Adrian, you pull Spanky over to the side of the road. How does Adrian pick his parking spots?
I think in this case, he probably just would, like, take a left and drive straight off the road. Like, if there's just grass, it would be like a T to the road, and he would just park fully off the road and then just get out of the car.
Okay. So the three of you pile out of the car, and the two goons notice that you've parked badly, and you hear one of them go like, "Huh, nice parking job."
What time of day is it?
It's early morning.
It's early morning. Sun is
like 7 a.m.-ish.
Okay, so sun is kind of basically up.
Up, okay. But still in that kind of brilliant early morning light that's okay. Just still kind of shiny.
Red, they saw us. I heard them talk about how good I parked.
Yeah, you parked very well. So I'm assuming sneaking is kind of out of the picture if they've seen us.
Not necessarily. I mean, you can still fuck off around the corner and then try and sneak across. It's just... And also, like, you overheard it, but they just said it to each other. They didn't, like, say it to you. It's just they noticed
there's no other movement on the street. So they're just like, oh, that car just did a stupid thing. Back to coffee and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the World Series in 1932?
yeah, I mean, I still would ideally like to sneak.
Yep.
So.
I will get in the car. And I will drive around the block the other way. They have seen the car, so they can watch me drive away while you two head towards the house. I'll drive around the block, and then I will catch up. Yeah?
That would work, yes.
Very good. Do you have everything you need?
I don't know what I'm walking into or what I'll need. So as long as I have my guns and Adrian, I'd say yes.
Don't, please, try to refrain from using your guns. She's a grieving woman. She just lost the man for the job, the man of her life, the man of our lives.
I don't care.
I don't know who's going to do the job, though. I think you should be more worried.
Oh, I'm worried, all right. I am worried. I am very concerned.
Addie, put your hand down. And smack your hand.
I'm trying. I'm not a doctor, okay?
And with that, you... old man Richter gets in the car, drives like I think very visibly past the goons, and around the corner. They follow the car with their eyes, and again, you can tell these guys aren't really expecting anything much to go down tonight. Red and Adrian, can you please roll me a stealth check? To kind of like dash across the road as they watch the car.
God dang, my stealth is not good. That's a fail.
Oh no. Gosh,
that's a fail that I should not spend that much luck in trying to get back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you bought the horse armor. You just went full cosmetic DLC. I respect it, but it means you don't have money for food today.
I also fail.
Great.
I am not good at stealth at all.
So, great plan, guys. the car drives by, like, and then the goons hear someone going sneak, 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 and they turn to see Adrian and Red. Red, you've been muttering sneak, sneak, sneak under your mouth. You haven't been saying it as loudly, but it does help. You think, and they see you as you're kind of like about to climb the fence, and one of them's like, hey, what are yous two doing? And they're reaching for their guns.
Oh, no need for those, gentlemen.
Good, I'll just put it away then. And he pulls the gun out.
We're just here to pay our respects.
Yeah, you can do that from the front like normal people.
All right then, we'll go in the front.
No, you can't go in. There's a grieving widow in there. Her husband was the man for the job. And now she's super sad. So you can leave your stuff here and that's it.
I know, he was so good for that job.
He was good for the job, right? He was going to be so good for the job.
I was in that house yesterday, and I had a nice talk with her about how I used to write me in for the job, and I wanted to make a big campaign donation. But I don't want to leave it on the lawn. Someone could take it.
Okay, so you're saying you're real good friends with the lady?
Yeah, we had a birthday party and everything.
Yeah, okay, cool. What's her name?
Her name...
name is Tanya.
Oh, I see you have passed my riddle of the streets. Only someone who really knew her would know her name, and not just the name, the grieving wife of the man with the plan. Okay, well, I will ask you again, leave your things at the gate. One of us will go see if she'll see you, okay? It's been a very difficult night for her. Her husband being killed and whatnot.
Okay, yeah, we'll wait while you ask.
Sure.
So one of them stays with you, and the other one starts going up towards the door. Richter, you catch up right around now.
So the car just comes around the other corner, and it's like I'm like slowly puttering by with like my arm like leaning out the window, and I just like pull up to you guys. I say, so it didn't work?
Hey, Grandpa, we're waiting to go in if she'll let us.
Oh, asking for permission. Wow, we really should have tried that first, maybe. Yeah?
No. It's never maybe. My preferred way of doing things.
No. Because Red said no.
All right, well, I guess I'll just park this here on the street and we will wait.
And if he comes back, if the nice gentleman, she says a bit louder so his friend hears us, if he's listening, if the nice gentleman comes back and says that we're not allowed in, then we'll just have to figure something out.
Yeah.
And Ricker's eyes like kind of go wide in a knowing like, oh, we're going to do like some improv-y kind of stuff. You're like, ah, yeah, we will figure something out. Yeah, and it like tap the side of his nose.
Is the other guy still in the car, Tom?
He's leaning against the car, kind of just watching you guys intently.
I want to go up and talk to him while I wait for this guy to come back. I would also just like to get close to him.
Cool. So yeah, you walk up and he's clearly topping up his coffee with a little nip of the good. He says, "Oh, pardon me, ma'am, just putting some milk in my coffee." And then he like tips the flask back up. He's like, "Yep, flask of milk.
That's a
body good."
I'm gonna just pull up my flask and say, "Well, that's a shame. I would have used whiskey and just taken a swig of my flask."
Ah. A woman after my own heart, drinking at 7 a.m.
Is it really drinking at 7 a.m. if you never stopped from the night before?
Ah! And then he drinks his coffee.
Now, I take it that you two are also close with Tanya Tate.
Oh, Mrs. Tate. I don't know her personally. We were just assigned here by our boss. He was a good friend of the family.
Really? Who's your boss?
Oh, he likes to be called Splinter. It's kind of a joke. Because one time he got some wood stuck in his hand. Yeah, that is funny. Because the wood was in his hand. Like a splinter!
There you go, honey.
Hey, Gary! Figured it out! Gary does not respond because he is at the door.
And you know what I've heard about Tanya is that she just makes the best cake. She just makes the best food all around. Have you ever tried her food?
No, ma'am. We're just here because we're told we're not allowed inside.
Right.
That's for fancy people.
I see. All right, then.
Does your ear hurt? Because my ear hurts.
I'll stick a finger in my ear again.
He's like, nope, my lungs kind of hurt, but I'm guessing that's from all the smoking I do. He doesn't seem to have any issues with his ear. The other guy is coming back from the door, and he says, listen, I know my voice sounds similar to my compatriots. You know, it's just when you hang out together too long, it's kind of a couples thing. Don't worry about it. Anyway, so she's real busy. She's busy packing up, so that's a no-go. She says, thank you for your concern. He really was the man for the job, but I'm sure someone else will step up to fill his big shoes. She's too busy.
She's leaving town, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Her husband was murdered yesterday in a small town he just moved to. It's not exactly a great reason to stick around, you know?
Well, she looks like she's... Red just clearly looks like she's weighing her options here.
To shoot two men in the street.
Do you guys know who would be like the next best man for the job?
Well, I mean, I was kind of hoping he would be, but Splinter, he says real good things about Monty Greaves. Says that guy's a stand-up fella. And Adrian and Richter, fucking yeah. That guy would be the right guy for the job. Holy shit, why didn't you think of this before?
Yeah,
TJ's best friend, Montgomery Greaves.
TJ's best friend, Montgomery Greaves? That sounds perfect. I don't remember who he is or what he looks like, but I'm pretty sure he's the right man for the job.
He is the Scottish one we met at the campaign office. Bald, mutton chops, do you remember?
Who?
Montgomery Greaves.
Eddie? It doesn't matter. He's the man for the job.
Yeah, he is. That makes a lot of sense. Why? I met him. Why didn't I think that then?
Well, because TJ was alive. So then we could have had the man for the plan, but now we have the man for the job.
Gentlemen, if I may, I really would love to speak to Tanya. So I'm just going to go, and then, you know what? I'm not even going to ask to go in. I'm just going to go knock on her door and pay my respects.
They both kind of close ranks in front of the gate that... so there's like a gate around the property, and then there's the building itself. Like, we're sorry, ma'am. I'm afraid we can't let you do that.
Please, don't make this any harder. I knew Tallahassee as well, and it's just tearing me up inside.
Well, that's a shame. I hope you grieve in your own way. Just eat, pray, love. Those are good ways to get over things, I'm told. And then there is a... as you're weighing your options and you're... trigger finger is starting to get itchy. Mm-hmm. There is a blinding flash of white light from one of the upstairs windows.
Has that been happening recently, gentlemen?
We don't know what you're talking about, sir. Look, I think it's about time you guys got moving. It's been nice, you know...
I draw both of my guns and I point them at both of them at the same time.
Ah, I suppose it's going to be like this then.
It's going to be like this, and we are going into the house. So I would suggest you get in your car, and you drive away.
Could you leave your firearms behind, please, gentlemen?
That too.
You know, I think I'll take your firearms. I don't need you handing them around.
And then I'll just, like, go forward to take guns out of holsters, I'm imagining, if they've got, like, holsters for guns.
Yeah. So you reach forward to... take their guns, and suddenly you hear a massive electrical sound, like an overwhelmingly loud electrical sound. And your hair, Adrian, despite how slicked down it is, springs up. And when you reach forward, you just get a handful of ash. Richter and Red, standing a bit further back, you saw a brilliant blast of blue light strike in rapid succession these two men, and as they both crumble to ash, you see Tanya Tate standing in the doorway of her house with a massive metal backpack and a giant heavy metal tube that seems to end in an electric coil, and she just says, "Well, if y'all are gonna make this difficult, I suppose you ought to come inside." And then she looks directly at you, Red, and she's like, "Don't worry, I won't be offering tea."
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, and all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Greetings. I am the modestly handsome obituary writer of this fetching town of Crestfall, Idaho, and this is Death by Dying. Death is exhausting. And so, after a long day of funeral attending, I had retired to my apartment to get some shut-eye. I loosened my Versace tie and changed into my Egyptian silk pajamas.
Are you the detective in town?
No, I'm the obituary writer.
Really? Someone said you solve murder cases.
Murder?
I'm Charlotte, by the way.
Forgive me, but I haven't gotten past the murder part. Charlotte, the friend I now have, is staying in the apartment above her Aunt Lillian's bookshop.
She was my aunt. She was all I had growing up. I need to know why she's gone.
Murder is the spice of life. I knew just who I had to see. The Angel of Death. We have become friends over the years.
Careful. Death is ever present.
Her pet, the button-eyed raven, moaned inconsolably as usual.
Your friends are abandoning you, one by one.
You write about death, O.W. But how much do you know about what it feels like to lose someone?
The shadow in the dark woods is making its way into Crestfall.
Listen to Death by Dying on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher.